First Chronicles 17, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said to David, Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, Thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. Fulfilling the Great Commission. That has got to be our lifelong goal, our focus, our purpose. Capital City, may we never deviate from that. As a corporate body, at the ministries of this church, everything we do needs to revolve around that, function with that purpose in mind. I want to be reaching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in 2019, that's extremely possible if we get everyone on the same page, that we're not worried about what's going on in Florida or Massachusetts or Colorado. I hope that churches all around the globe get involved. Let's worry about Capital City Baptist Church and more specifically, what God would have us to do individually. I hope you'll take a look at your missions giving. You'll allow God to work in your heart and life, whatever He directs you to do. Amen. Don't get the business of comparisons. Get in the business of complete obedience to the Holy Spirit of God. But here's what we do have to understand. Based on this passage and the building of the temple, we do understand that God calls some to go and to build, and God calls others to stay and to finance. So tonight, we're going to preach on the subject. Let's hear it for those that finance the work. Let's hear it tonight. For those that stay and finance the work. Amen. How many of you are called to stay? You know, you've wrestled with the subject. You've wrestled with God. You've debated and you fussed at Him. And in the end, you said, God, whatever you want me to do, I surrender to do your will. If you want me to go, I'm more than willing. If you want me to stay and finance those that do go, I'm more than willing. How many of you have wrestled with God and surrendered to do whatever He wants you to do? How many of you would prefer to be in a foreign country right now serving the Lord as a missionary? How many prefer to be living right here in the United States of America? That's your preference. Doesn't matter what your preference is, amen. The major issue is simply saying, God, what do you want me to do? I want to be totally, completely surrendered to simply doing your will. And here's what I like. I love this little passage, four verses here, where David got in his heart. What a heart for God. What a heart for the things of God. And he stirred up. And we ought to be stirred up. I like people that are stirred up and have a heart for the work of God. I feel sorry for those that don't. You have some have no heart for God at all. Now, whether it's ritual, obligation, a wife that's forcing them to come, who knows what the situation is, but week after week, they bring their sorry carcass into church, their sorry attitude into church, and their sorry spiritual condition into church, and say, I will go on by the grace of God, even if serving Jesus kills me. Well, we're not as thankful for your lousy attitude as you expect us to be. I think we ought to be fired up, amen? Fired up when it comes to serving God, fired up for reaching the world, fired up with what God can do through us. Now, here's the issue. He said, I'm going to go do this. This is what he had in his heart. I'm going to go build this temple. I'm with my own hands. I'm going to make it happen. And the man of God, like we often do, we speak before we pray. He said, you know what, David, if it's in your heart, make it happen. Sound like a great idea. Now, to most men of God, doing the work of God and building the house of God, this sounds like a fantastic idea. But it's always good to run the idea by God first. Possibly a good idea. So God said, Nathan didn't inquire of me, and David didn't inquire of me. I'm going to have to talk to them. So he came at night. Now, when you hear voices in the night, that's because of Papa John's or Pizza Hut, hot sauce. But this was the real deal right here. God shows up, tells Nathan, go, verse 4, and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house. Have any of you come down here to the altar, missions conference, you lay down here and said, God, I'm going to Uganda. I've heard the call. I've heard the Macedonian call. God, I believe you want me in Mexico. I believe Peru's a place for me. And God said, no, my place for you is right here. Now, there's no problem with having the heart, the desire. There's a problem, to the contrary, with having no heart for God, no passion for the things of God. But the bottom line is, here's what we don't want to do, and we tend to do. We tend to minimize those that finance the work and put a spotlight on those that are doing the work. The bottom line is, we need both, and God's going to use David. Now, let me just make a few simple points, and we'll go home and have some coffee. Encounter some heartburn about 2 o'clock in the morning. Use that as a time of prayer for our missionaries. Amen? Number one, David's heart was in building the work of the Lord. Now, here's what we're going to do. Keep your finger here. We're going to be bouncing back between the next 6 or 7 chapters. Look what it says in chapter 29, verse 3. You see this repeatedly mentioned in Scripture. God wanted to reveal David's heart in Scripture for the temple, for the things of God, the work of God. David said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Now, here's what you can't say. You can't have a heart for God and not invest anything in the work of God. Your heart for God is revealed in your time, your effort, your energy, your finances. When we love the house of God, the work of God, the souls of men, the glory of God, obviously we're going to be making an investment there. Here's what David is going to see. He's not going to be the face of this. He's not going to receive the accolades. He had no problem with that at all. He simply was going to finance it. And most of God's work is done by people that receive no accolades, no praise. Their work goes unnoticed. And that goes from those that paint the building, clean the building, teach the classes. We've repeated this over and over again. The man that stands behind the pulpit, the man who has the face on the website, the pastor, the assistant pastor, they're the ones usually that are noticed. But there are hundreds of foot soldiers, and in this case, thousands and thousands of people that were going to help finance this and then help build the temple. But ultimately, you know what it's called? Solomon's temple. And when people think of the temple, they think of Solomon. They don't think of David. But it was David that did the majority of the prep work and all of the financial investment that made this possible. Look what it says in verse 9 of chapter 29. Here literally are gathered thousands of people that are investing in this great project. Verse 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Now, you know what missions conference ought to be for us? Just a time of rejoicing where we say, God hasn't called all of us to go, but what we can do, we can participate in that great work. And it ought to bring us great joy. You know what will help you with that joy? Go visit a missionary. Go visit a mission field. Spend a vacation overseas. Get a passport. Involve yourself in a project. Your heart will get stirred. You'll be motivated and say, my investment has not been in vain. David said, I'll gladly finance this. Cap City, if you could only see, it's not just been all the projects we've been involved in the literature and the special days and the conference. We have helped with buildings literally all over the world, from the Philippines to Mexico to Uganda to Kenya. We're going to help with a project. We've done this both in Spanish church and English church. Spanish church recently helped with a building in Venezuela. But there are projects all over, and sometimes they go unnoticed. Even here at Capital City, we'll send $8,000, $10,000, and someone will miss out on the fact. Ask Brother Donald, ask these going to Ecuador, ask those that have been to Mexico, ask those, no matter where you go, we have helped fund. But if you go visit those works, there's no plaque that says Capital City funded this project. We don't need a plaque. This is about the honor and the glory of God and saying it doesn't matter which missionary's name is on that project. What matters is that we are doing our part. And I thank God for this group right here. I thank God for the group. Gets up, braves I-35 traffic, deals with Austin, this wicked wicked city. Not a couple days a week, every day of the week, you're out there, you're dealing with the city, you're dealing with an unsafe boss, the perversion that you see on a daily basis. You get home late, sometimes working 50, 60 hours, you're doing with less so that missionaries can have more. And I say, let's hear it for those that are funding the work. Praise God for those that have a heart. David didn't need the accolades, he just needed the opportunity. And his ultimate purpose with the honor and the glory of God. Look what it says in chapter 17, verse 24. Our purpose ought to be that God's great name be magnified in the earth. Look what it says. Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever. This can't be about our names. This isn't about an individual's name. This isn't about Capital City Baptist Church's name. This isn't about what kind of reputation do we have in the United States of America when it comes to missions. Forget the reputation. Forget what we're giving. Let's worry about God's great name being magnified in Iraq and Iran and Sudan and Somalia and Liberia and the Philippines and China and India and Japan and every other country on this earth. Look what it says in Psalm 72. David was not trying to exalt his name, but God's name. Psalm 72, we want to make sure our motives are right. Verse 19, blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Now, thankfully, this attitude rubbed off on his son Solomon, and his son Solomon, in building the tabernacle, understood the purpose of building this building. Here's what Solomon said in 2 Chronicles 6:33. Then hear thou, as he dedicates the temple, he's praying this prayer, and he says to God, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth thee for. Listen to this, that all people of the earth may know thy name, and fear thee as doeth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. This is about God's name. Number two, God was not going to let David do the actual building, but he was going to allow him the privilege of financing the entire work. Pastor, so many men, so many needs. It seems like we have missionary all the time. Praise the Lord for that. We don't wait for missions conference to take on people. There are men that come through here. I'm not even here. We'll take on several a year that come through in my absence. They're highly esteemed by the congregation. We will take them on, support that work. Amen. Look what it says in verse 4, chapter 17, verse 4, what we read in our text. Go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house. Now, how discouraging must that have been at the moment, just at the moment? He's all prepped. He's all prepared. He is ready to make this happen. He's excited. He's looking forward to the details of the great house for God. And Nathan says, I talked to God last night. God talked to me. You're not going to build that house. It's not his will for you to build that house. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. When God moved us off the mission field, I was a carnal person. Kim and I didn't just embrace the thought of leaving Mexico, and it didn't have anything to do with Capital City or the people of Capital City. It had to do with you have a missionary's heart and working in foreign countries and seeing what God's doing around the world. You want to be right there, feet on the ground, front lines, and suddenly God changed that in our lives and accepting the fact that God may alter our plans and say, for a time, I want you to be the provider instead of the principal builder. And in David's case, he had to quickly get over the disappointment. And guess what God did? God gave him the ability to finance the work. You know what? There's a great crowd here. Now, here's what we do. We tend to think that God's looking for the rich. Here's what I found out in the work of God. God rarely funds his work with the rich. The rich are normally the smallest givers. I don't care if you make 10 bucks an hour, 2 bucks an hour, or 150 bucks an hour. You ought to be doing something. It ought to be inside of you to say, I want to do something for the work of God, for the house of God. I want to do something. Let me ask you this. Does God have to force you to give? Does God have to berate you? Does God have to take you to missions conference to get you to give? Is there something that's birthed inside of you that says, I want to participate? Pastor doesn't have missions conferences to torture you. How many remember a point in your life when you struggled with giving? Hold on for a second. We got a very dishonest crowd here. Sam's my only honest member here for some reason. How many of you remember when you struggled with giving? Maybe I shouldn't use the past tense. How many of you remember right now struggling with giving? Okay. There we go. We got a bunch of people that are honest now. Here's what you want to do. You want to say, God, I don't care what you give me or how you provide for me. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. The question is, can God trust you with money? Can God even trust you? This isn't about how much you make, but how submitted you are to the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful. I don't live concerned thinking, God, what are you going to take from me today? I can't imagine living like that. I can't imagine putting a number on the work of God, thinking a percentage. For us, faith, promise, missions, giving is a baseline. This is saying the minimal amount we'll give this year is this. I don't even want to think about that amount. I want to think about, God, how can you channel more through me? How can I help someone else? What can we do to meet a need? And when God sees that willingness, you know what God will do? He will channel through you what he won't give to you. And here's what David said. I want to finance work. I thank God for people that he's enabled in this local church body to finance the work. You'd be surprised what our widows have done the past 10 years that I've been here. You'd be surprised what some of our teenagers have done. You'd be surprised what some of our teenagers have not done. He didn't just have the ability, he had the determination, because it's going to take some determination. Here's the issue of David. He wasn't going to be able to see with his own eyes. He would never see the temple. He'd never see the construction. That's where it gets difficult. You know, at least with the tithes and offerings, you get a see. Here's our investment. But what about missions? A couple of you have gone to a couple countries. Donald can say he's seen the investment in Trinidad. He's seen the investment in Guyana. He's seen the investment in Kenya. But that's three works or five works, eight missionaries. You know what you're doing by faith? Most of you never traveled and you've given, and Gene talks about the radio station. You haven't seen it with your own eyes. You've seen a picture. Now you've seen a video. What about those that have sacrificed? We're not talking about, maybe it's not the greatest quantity, but it might be the biggest sacrifice, just because what they're doing without, in order to fund the work of God. And in the end, they won't have the money to visit a missionary and see their investment. That means that everything they do is by faith. Have you ever gone to a foreign country, you've seen the work, and you've been stirred in your, you've been stirred. Number three, David did not get disappointed with his part, but rather was overwhelmed with gratitude for being enabled to participate in this great work. Look what it says in chapter 29, verse 10. Now, let me ask you if you can sense any disappointment here with the fact he wasn't going to be able to put one stone up. He wasn't going to be able to see anything of the temple built. He says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and we praise thy glorious name. Who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners. Now, any of you, are you sensing the disappointment? What are you sensing? The excitement of saying, I get to finance this project. Now, here's what I'm grateful for at Capital City. We could talk about little kids. I remember one year, Dr. Hyken's daughter came up right before missions conference and brought her piggy bank. I don't know if there was a dollar in there. All change. That thing weighed 20 pounds. We took it down, changing all those coins, and there was $350, $400 in there. Everything she had saved up to the time she was 12, she gave that to missions. That's a sacrifice. A random, you know, tossing to God what we have left over wouldn't affect us, wouldn't hurt us, wouldn't change our lives. We're talking about the sacrifice of a 12-year-old. And I could tell you, about a conference years ago where Chris Green promised to sell a house. Before he ever sold that house, he took those proceeds, wrote a check for missions. We sent it to missions. And Wednesday, the missions conference, I remember the flood that hit. The day he was supposed to sign on that house, guess what happened? How many inches of water did you have in that house, Chris? The sale didn't go through. Now you say, why? Why would God do that? If he had dedicated that house, he had already given the check, he'd sent the money and said, I want to dedicate to this mission. Why would God do something like that? You know what? God turned all of that upside down, inside out. Bless Chris. More than he thought he would be blessed on that house. It's always better to have the city buy the house than an individual, amen? You'll always be paid better by the taxpayer than by the individual taxpayer. But here's what we've seen over the years. We've seen when someone is just willing to say, God, just use me. Whatever I have, if it's a 12-year-old girl, it doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your income, just saying, God, use me as a channel. And that's what David is doing. He said, I'm not going to be disappointed that I can't go and build. I'm going to be thankful that God's going to allow me to help finance this. And I'm not going to allow troubles set me back. Look what it says in chapter 22, verse 14. I'll admit, I've been disappointed. My wife's been disappointed. We haven't had days. I've had to throw myself right here in this altar and confess to God my sorry spirit. So God, I don't want to be the one financing the work. If I finance it, I want to finance it from a foreign country. And God said, oh, that's not my plan. David was going to go to great lengths to fund this. Look what it says, verse 1. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord God. This is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded together. The strangers were in the land of Israel. He set masons to hew wrought stones. He prepared iron in abundance, nails for the doors of the gates, for the joinings, brass in abundance, cedar trees in abundance. Verse 5, David said, Solomon, my son is young and tender. The house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all the countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly. You know what David did? He gathered the laborers, he assembled the material, he organized the priests, he gave Solomon the blueprints, he briefed the leaders, he said, I'm going to facilitate those that build so they don't have any unnecessary setbacks. Now here's the best thing we can do for our missionaries, say, let's facilitate their path. Taking these missionaries 2 or 3 years, 4 years to raise funds. Because churches aren't facilitating their paths. They have a project. Well, I believe those nationals ought to put up their own building, buy their own land, pay for everything. They make $2 a day. Can you explain to me how they can do that? Folks, I mean to tell you, it's unbelievable that we're not going out of our way. Let's facilitate their paths. Because in Kenya, it would take them their lifetime to come up with a metal roof. And we can, with an offering, send $10,000 and give them a brick building, a structure. Now, here's what we're not doing. We're not going to do everything for them. But we can put up a structure later on. They can do the stucco, and they can put up the pews, and they can do the rest of the work themselves. But at least we can forward and facilitate the labor of that missionary, encourage that man. God has given us the ability to facilitate the men that we are sending. We ought to be thankful. God, thank you that we make sufficient. You know what people say, the first thing they say when they travel. Chris recently hosted a group. They just flew out last night. I spoke to him this afternoon. He said, Dad, here's what they said the whole time. We can't believe how simply these people live. We can't believe that's how they make their house. We can't believe one or two changes of clothes, how little they need to actually survive. Yeah, because here in the States, we have so much excess. The problem, those wants are now considered needs. We begin to make comparisons about how others live. We can't live satisfied. So at the end of the day, we establish so much debt that we can't facilitate a mission. There are people, and I talk to the average pastor, when I go to preach missions conferences, I have to be very careful and even restricted in my preaching because the average church, the average individual has so much debt, they can't even attend the conference because they're all working overtime. Mom's trying to pay for daycare. Dad's trying to sustain the family. Coming home late at night, working excess hours. Talk about missions. They're like, I can't even pay my bills, let alone give something to missions. Now, here's what David said. Verse 14, I love this verse. He said, now behold, what are the next three words? In my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord. How many of you have read about the latter years of David's life and realized he dealt with a lot of trouble? He didn't let that stop him. Be careful, because we will let things, trouble, stop us from giving to missions, finance of the work. We're going to have trouble. Family trouble, financial trouble, occasional trouble. How many of you have made a faith promise commitment and it didn't eliminate your troubles? How many of you ever made a faith promise commitment and the next week something bad happened? Anybody ever been there? Like, what was that? Lord, three flat tires? I thought it would be a little simpler than this. It's like the little girl that said, God, if you give me $1 a week, I'll give it to you for missions. The first week, she's walking down the street, and there's a $1 bill. She said, praise the Lord, look at that. That's amazing. Where God guides, he provides. And now I get to give my dollar. This is going to be pretty simple. And the next week, Monday came, didn't have any money. Tuesday, Wednesday, she's walking the streets, looking for money. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. She thought, Lord, last week was so simple. I can't believe this happened. She climbed on the swing, swinging up in the air, way up in the air. Lord, Lord, would you please help me on this one? And suddenly she stopped paying attention to what she was doing, fell out of the swing, flat on her face, skinned herself up, looked down, there's $1. She said, Lord, please don't make it this complicated every time. How many ever had that happen? You made a promise to God. He said, Lord, please don't make it that complicated every time. Number five, God would bless David for his desire by using his son to be the builder. Guess what, Capital City? I can't be on the mission field right now, but I thank God I can't do the building. But God has used my desire to help me and that boy see a desire to build, and I get to finance while he builds. I get to see the pictures. I get to hear about the Bible studies, and I'm watching the videos, and I'm jumping up and down in my heart and in my soul every single day because I can't be in Ecuador, but I get a son that's doing the building, and I can finance while he builds. Amen. And guess what? Steve and Beth don't get to be Mexico, Argentina, Peru, but there's a good chance their son's going to be in every one of those countries at some point, spreading some gospel, preaching, passing out tracts, plant churches. Now, here's what we need to do. It doesn't matter if it's Liz, Billy Wall. Doesn't matter if it's Rob and Ariana. Doesn't matter if it's Mateo and Joy or Chris, whoever the next one is. We ought to rejoice in the fact that although God may have us here at the moment, God's using that desire that's stirred up in us being passed on to our children, and we may finance what they build. There ought to be a lot of joy in that. God said, David, you're not going to build it, but guess what? You're going to finance it. I'm going to let Solomon build it. Look what it says in verse 11 of chapter 17. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers. I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons. I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. Bobby, I don't think God's ever going to put you on the mission field, but guess what? You can finance while Matthew builds. Amen. You can finance while Michael builds. I mean, so that stirs me up. God may not send me around the world. Some of you don't want to travel around the world. Some of you, maybe in your youth, you wanted to. Now that you've gotten older, you said, you know what? I pretty much like the American diet. I don't think I want to do the whole mush. Amen. Guava root. Have you ever seen fish in foreign countries? Okay. Most of the time, they don't even take the time to gut it. Or however they cook it, they have a way of bringing out the fishiest of flavors. Yeah, I don't care how they do it in a foreign country. It's nasty, it's nasty, it's not edible. Look what it says, chapter 22, verse 14. Number six, David was determined to strengthen and encourage the hands of the builders. First Chronicles 22, verse 14. Now, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, of brass, and iron without weight. Look what it says, verse 16, of gold and silver and of brass, the iron, there's no number. Arise, he says, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. And David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand. Verse 19, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. He said, I'm going to take time to encourage and strengthen the hand of the builders. Now here's what we can do, Capital City. Every time one comes through, we can encourage and strengthen the hands of the builders. You know, a lot of these missionaries, what happens when they travel from church to church, they're ignored, they're overlooked. Folks, I can tell you stories all night, crazy stories. We went to church, Kim and I drove from here to Louisiana, 6 hours away. The pastor told us to meet him at the church, 5 o'clock, he'd take us out for dinner. We got there 4:30, sat in the parking lot, 5 o'clock past, 5:30 past, 5:45, 6 o'clock, 6:15, 6:30. I told my wife, 6:30, he didn't show up in a few minutes. I'm going to check the church door. It was open, no one was there, the place was a mess. We went in, we straightened up the hymn books, we vacuumed the auditorium, cleaned up the bathroom. 7 o'clock, people are there, the pastor is not there. I said 7:15, the pastor didn't show up, I'm going to start the service. I led the singing, picked up the offering, made the announcements, preached the message, held an invitation, and the pastor never even showed. We got in the car and drove back. That's not a good way to strengthen the hands of the builders. We're in Arkansas one time, pulled up to the church, walked in, there's a man that looked sharp, seemed to be the pastor, greeted him, said, you the pastor of the church? He said, no, I'm the visiting missionary tonight. He said, are you the pastor? I said, no, I'm the visiting missionary tonight. He had a display table set up. I didn't bother to set mine up. I said, I'm not even going to bother to set mine up. About 5 minutes later, another guy showed up, looked sharp, said, you the pastor of the church? He said, no, I'm the visiting missionary tonight. I said, well, let me introduce you to the other two visiting missionaries tonight. Pastor showed up 5 minutes before church, brought us in the office, pulled out a quarter and said, boys, said, I didn't realize I had 3 missionaries tonight, heads or tails. You can't make this stuff up. I said, Pastor, don't worry about me. You don't need to take care of me. You don't need to worry about me. You just make it between these two boys right here. The guy that missed the flip of the coin had 5 kids. My wife and I took them out to eat, paid for their hotel that night. That's not a good way to strengthen the hands of the builders. We were in a church one time in Arkansas. Place was packed. I preached that night. The pastor got up, said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. He stood on the, you guys remember the communion tables? They used to be in front of the pulpits. He stood on the communion table, said, Dad, bless this man. We need to take an offering, pass the plates. I don't know if those $1 bills, $5 bills, $100 bills, but those plates were packed with money. He said, this offering for Brother Thompson. But we went home that night. And I guess he wanted to give us that offering so bad that he thought he already had. Because we never saw a dollar of it. Not a great way to strengthen the hands of the builders. Now, I'm not telling you it's rough out there. I'm just telling you there are circumstances that could be discouraging to someone out there trying to raise support. So when a missionary comes through, you know what you ought to do? Go out of your way to be a blessing. Put some gas in his tank. We'll give him a good offering, but go out of your way to be a blessing to him. Strengthen their hands. That's what David was doing. He was saying, I can't build, but what I'm going to do to those that are building, I'm going to encourage them and strengthen them so they make sure to get it done. Number 7, David's sacrifice was used to build a great work and deliver countless souls from death and destruction. Now, we won't go back to the chapter, but you know where all this really got off the ground. David was praying about this work and about where to build the temple and how to, he was literally, he's going to give Solomon the plans. He's concerning himself with every single last detail of this temple and those involved in the temple. But he wanted to be guided to the right piece of property. Remember when he numbered the people, 70,000 men will die as a result of that sin. But Nathan tells him he needs to go build an altar, and he buys the land from Araunah, the Jebusite. And it's there on that piece of land where God stays his hand of judgment that the temple will be built. And through this simple purchase and his sacrifice and his altar, judgment is stayed lives are saved. But through this, this is where the place of worship for Israel was established. Men's hearts were stirred for God. Children placed their faith in Jehovah God right here. Sacrifices were made. This is where the people worshiped. David, now here's what we do. When we make this investment, this is so much bigger than us. Can you imagine the disappointment of knowing the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel? As one individual, one church, that's impossible. Unless we have ambassadors. Unless we have a faith promise missions plan. I would lose my mind without faith promise and a missions plan with that command. Because we are supposed to be reaching Uganda and Kenya and South Africa. We're supposed to be reaching Zimbabwe and Liberia. We're supposed to be reaching every country in South and Central America. Even the closer countries. How are we going to reach Guatemala? We only have to cross through Mexico to get there. Not a single... Do we have one person here in this auditorium ever stepped a foot in Guatemala? A neighboring country of Mexico. We can't even make it that far. But you know what we have? Brother Lot. To our Spanish church, we have invested in these countries where we'll never place a foot, never pass out a track, never reach a soul. But God's allowed us to fund men that are going to build. And I mean to tell you, that ought to stir your soul and say, whatever God allows me to do, with joy. And for those of you that say, I'm a tightwad, I was born a tightwad, I'm going to die a tightwad. There's no problem with that either. You do have a great commission. So take all that money you're saving, get on a plane, and go. Pick a country. But go, because you're not exempt from the command. But either way, college student, young person, teenager, child. That's why Colin and some of these parents that are carrying their babies up here, before they can even walk, they're teaching them to get involved in mission. I believe when your child's in the womb, he ought to be making a faith promise commitment. Before he's ever saved, he ought to know how to give. And that way when he finally does get saved, he'll already have the established habit. Some of you got saved and it didn't change your tightwad behavior. Teach them. You know what Katie does now? You've seen those kids the first time they come up. They can't let go of that dollar. They come up here, they take a look, they grab one out of the pot and run back. Here's what we have to be careful of. If we're not establishing this mindset in our kids, you know what's going to happen? The next generation is not going to have any passion for reaching the world with the gospel. This church does a lot for mission. I'm not asking about this church. I'm asking about you. What are you doing? You know what we have? We have a lot of people in the church. The majority are involved in missions. But you know what we have? It's not just giving. You know what they're doing? It's not just Dave gives to missions. He's back there training future missionaries. It's not just Daniel Dodson giving to missions. He's back there working with the Swahili ministry. It's not just a person saying, I'm going to throw some money that way. It's saying, let's invest in the future of our missionaries, our missionary base, and create another generation with the same philosophy. And you know what Chris and Nate Johnson and these parents are doing with their kids? They're already teaching. Don't get upset. Now, parents, don't do this. Don't get upset when a little child sells muffins. Because some parent is trying to teach that child, you raise some money and you direct that towards missions. That shouldn't make you tense. That should make you joyful. And occasionally you ought to say, that's not a dollar muffin. That looks like a $5 muffin to me. Capital City ought to be a beacon. At,